B-Pod Studios.
Solak and Bertrand are back at Lucky Strike Social at Fenway for Marathon Monday. Sponsored by Michelob Ultra. Live fit, live fun, live ultra on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
This is a distraction.
Just the bass.
Nope, that's not bass.
No, it's not.
There's somebody knocking on the floor.
There's something hitting the ceiling below us. The ceiling of the second floor.
Tap, tap, tap.
It's a hard tap, and it's right underneath our chair.
It's like someone's taking a pole and jamming a ceiling below us. Are you tapping your furniture?
Yes.
You are.
It's you?
No, it isn't.
Is it really you?
It is him.
Tap on my foot.
It is him.
Jesus, you're shaking the whole freaking floor. Normally, it's me doing it.
Stop.
That is him. Okay. You're such a jackass.
Now I'm distracted by it.
No, you're not. You're fine. Go ahead.
You didn't feel that during this whole... What's that thing?
I wasn't paying attention to it, but then you brought it to my attention. I couldn't stop thinking about it.
No.
I won't do it anymore.
617-779-0985. The telephone number. Let's jump back to your calls. Bruins. Tiger. Red Sox, are going to talk to Celtics this hour as well. Blair in Maine, go ahead. What's your take on Tiger Woods?
Tiger Woods, you know, it's been a long time since he's won. You know, that's great for Tiger. It's excellent. I also want to get on Tuukka Rask. Tuukka Rask.
What's this now, Mike Bynum and Mike Callahan?
Yeah, no, it's a good point, and I hadn't thought of it that way.
Unbelievable.
Now we have.
But when you put it like that, it makes sense.
Why don't you put him on a clock?
I didn't, because I wanted to see how long he could go. Repeating Tuukka, and it was about 22
seconds
or so.
Why is he always eating? Why is he always something in his mouth?
Tuukka.
Mark is in Medford on the Bruins. Hey, Mark.
Hey, guys, what's up? Before I get to my, I get two Bruins points, but before I get to them, isn't Sean Avery the idiot that whacked Tim Thomas in the back of the head, and then Tim Thomas, like, flew down the ice and tackled him?
It's a dick comment.
Yeah, Avery was a player that every other player on the ice hated when he played.
Do you remember that night, though?
I don't recall that specific thing.
Yeah,
no.
It was in between plays, and Tim Thomas was just kicking in me. And he snuck up behind him, whacked him in the back of the head with a stick. And
Thomas went nuts down the ice. You're right. I remember that.
Yeah. It was April 5th, 2009.
So, right. And so look where that's coming from. But anyway, 2 points on the Kadri incident. First off, the one thing that pissed me off more than the cross check itself, in the instant replay, did you see Kadri look over both shoulders before he did that? Did he think no one was going to see him do that?
And yeah, that wasn't like, hey, the puck's there, I'm in the area, right, I'm making a clean hit. That was intent.
And the Dano Chara point of that is that Chara knocked him down, wanted to pick him up and put him in the fifth row, but Kadri, being Kadri, turtled like the pussy that he is.
Well, okay. Well, that's strong, but yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. Hardy pulled up the actual hit.
By the way, I'm looking
back. It's awesome. He just went right after his ass. That was great.
Avery was an a-hole.
This is something out of Slapshot. It really is. It's something out of Slapshot. Good for Tim Thomas.
Someone comes over to try and defend Avery, and Thomas starts swinging at him. He was the best type of time bomb.
Yeah. Lunatic. Nothing like having a lunatic with crazy eye in between the pipes.
That was great.
Give me that every day.
That was great.
Okay, I just watched it again. I really don't think Kadri is turning around and looking behind him. Watch. You take a look at this. Ready? And what would that mean? That he's making sure no one else is there?
Yeah, giving it a peek.
So what? Here it is.
Oh, man, that's just
turn around.
Teed him right up, though. That is dirtbag.
I don't even know why that would have mattered. He saw Jake DeBrusk. He had it out for DeBrusk. He didn't like the hit earlier. He went after DeBrusk.
Yep. Took a little loop, that little casual skate song.
Yes.
And I got to tell you.
Whipped right back in.
Someone else brought this up. It is a special kind of turtling when, in order to avoid Zdeno Chara, you fall on top of the guy that you just cross-checked in the head. So in order to get out of a beating, you are further going to perhaps injure the guy that you just took a cheap shot on.
Yeah.
That is some next-level turtling right
I watched
there.
Some more videos of some of his hits and some of his illegal hits where he ran the goalie and
this
did the
is
same
what,
thing.
That is the worst part.
Took the goalie's head in
with
the ice.
His left hand, Kadri grabs DeBrusk and won't let go of his jersey when DeBrusk is down face first on the ice. Watch this, though. We're watching it live here. The left hand tugging on the jersey.
He's on Chara. He knows it's Chara.
Tugging, so he don't let. I can't let go. If I let go, this big man is gonna kill me.
I'm gonna hold on to this corpse down on the ice, so that I don't have to stand up and get my head taken off.
What if he didn't play tonight? But like, did he still get the TNR bump? Is he gonna call those guys?
I don't know, man. It's been all downhill for DeBrusk since he went out of his way to call TNR.
Yeah, it was better when they were playing grab ass.
He had a bad mistake in game
it.
One, and he gets hit in the head, cross checked in game two. John is in Attleboro. John.
Hey, guys. A couple things. With the way Backus came out and played in game two, do you think Cassidy possibly cost them game one by not playing him? And then quickly on Tiger, I think the most impressive thing for me is that it's his first comeback win of his 15 majors. So that's, I thought, very impressive. All right.
I thought Tiger. Okay,
John, thanks for the call.
Real quick on Tiger, and I know we weren't talking about it on air, but that stretch when it was Molinari was 13 under, Tiger was 10 under, and there was a three stroke gap around hole 10, and then that thing closed. You know, it went bogey birdie, and it went right back to 12-11. I thought Tiger was struggling there. It didn't seem like Molinari was going to make a single mistake. Hardy, didn't he have like 55 straight holes of par or birdie golf?
Yeah, he
strung it together.
He had
at that point.
I think it was like the second longest streak going on.
It was crazy.
He was so solid. And I thought at one point we were looking at a three-way playoff, and it was going to be Tiger and Molinari and either Dustin Johnson or maybe Schauffele. I thought DJ had a better chance of getting into a playoff there at the end. But these guys, I firmly believe they succumbed to the pressure of playing with Tiger. They had only heard about it.
You know who won the Office Masters pool? These two guys.
Yeah. Beat him with the team. I drafted Tiger.
What do you team?
There's two. We split the pot.
Nice.
The person who picks the winner
on
their team and the person who has the best team combined score. I had the best team. Hardy picked Tiger.
Nice. Good for you guys.
Yeah.
Winner.
Lunch for us then, huh? One day this weekend.
Where did I select overall? It was pretty low. It was seventh or eighth, I think, I got Tiger. He was still sitting there in the first round.
Yeah, it was probably midway through there. Yeah. I think there were 13 teams.
Yeah.
Midway through the first round.
Nice pot.
Yeah.
Do you think Molinari overthought or overtalked? Did you see before
who gets the jacket? You get the jacket?
No, you get the jacket.
I get the jacket?
You get the jacket. I'll present. I was going to bring it
today.
That's
going to look good on
you. I'll present it tomorrow.
We were talking about the jacket the other day. It doesn't even fit Hardy.
Yeah.
It may fit like Chris Gasper.
Oh, you have to try and put it on, though. It's very.
A little Chris Farley. Talk about SNL.
Yes.
Don't do it. Don't do it, Richard.
Oh, Richard.
I thought he overtalked.
I want to address that other point about Backus. Is there a second guess of Bruce Cassidy for not putting Backus in game one? Hell no.
No. I think you did the right thing.
You're talking about going up against Toronto, which is speed and skill, and Backus has been slow and unskilled.
Well, it's like saying,
with that said, he looked good. I mean, he gathered that puck behind the net, fed it to Charlie Coyle for the first goal of the game. He played well, so credit to him. But I'm not second-guessing the coach for not playing him out of the game.
No, do you second-guess Claude Julien for not putting Sean Thornton in the series earlier against Vancouver? Or did you bring him in when you needed him?
I think you brought him in when you needed him.
Yeah, and Backus is a different player from Sean Thornton. I get it, and they bring different things. But I thought it was the right move both times.
Dave is in Waltham. Hi, Dave.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
What's up,
good.
Dave?
So I just want to give you my quick perspective and opinion on the Kadri situation and the fine. And so first, I want to be unbiased because one thing I don't like is biased opinions, especially from your own fan base. The thing with DeBrusk, that was that was a little dirty, but it wasn't, you know, it wasn't 100%. Like, you know, they were moving laterally, and, you know, did he kind of get his knee out there a little bit, but it wasn't like one of those Matt Cook on Tyson Berry right at the blue line.
Right.
So, you know, it should be just a penalty that, like that. And so, you know, like, that's like that. So, Kadri, I think he's going to get 8 to 10 games. He already has a cross check to the head from Red Wings, Luke Glendening, and again, Kadri has gotten fined for a couple dives too. Actually, yeah. When I was reading the suspensions, you know, showed that he's gotten fined. So, and you know, we have Brad Marchand. He's gotten suspended 19 games. So, you know, that's what I wouldn't want. You know, another team to. I'd like it to be fair. So that's what I think. 8 to 10. What do you guys think,
Dave? I think you're right on the money, dude.
Yeah.
I agree with everything he just said.
It's not three. It's not going to be three.
Have you seen the Glendening hit?
Yeah.
It's the same thing.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. and this, again, will be his fifth Nazem Kadri.
That's what you go. You base it on comparables.
Suspension. Yeah. Fifth suspension. He's done this before.
Repeat offender.
They're going to hammer him.
It's easy.
I think it's going to be in that 8 to 10 range.
Oh.
But I also... How do we know? What
this guy's
a
dirt
what if
bag,
he caught
man.
The league on a bad
we're watching
day?
We're watching
where they
bad
just
hits.
Don't want it. They don't want to hear it anymore.
I'm such a dirtbag. What do you see in their goal where he runs the goalie?
Got a low light reel of Kadri going right here. It's unbelievable.
This guy's a dirtbag.
It's unbelievable. Some guy has not absolutely just taken his.
It's good.
Head
it brings anger
now.
Into the series. Not that you need it, but it brings some anger into the series.
Celtics had a game yesterday, and I think they thoroughly beat down the Pacers in game one.
They were watching the Masters.
They
in the
got
first
to
half
the second half,
huh?
And they just closed. Yeah. Is what they did. We'll talk about that. Get an update on the Celtics and how their weekend went. We'll do it coming up next.
The winners are making their way to the finish line, and the Sox are on the field. Noah Beadle are live at Lucky Strike Social with Michelob Ultra, 98.5, the Sports Hub, and streaming on the Sports Hub app.
All year long, everybody was waiting for the Celtics to flip the switch, to turn on the switch. Instead, they just turned out the lights in game one on the Indiana Pacers. And the clock will hit triple zeros, and it is done. Nothing pretty except the outcome. The Celtics strike first in the best of seven. They beat the Pacers in game one, 84-74.
Here on Zolak and Bertrand, coming to you live from Jillian's Lucky Strike, brought to you by Michelob Ultra. Live fit, live fun, live ultra. Red Sox are underway at Fenway Park. We still have a good crowd here. If you're in the area, swing on by. I can tell you, Zoe and I were hitting that arcade on the second floor hard today.
It's a nice arcade.
That was fun.
Yeah, it's a good spot for your kids. Just bring your kids here. Turn them loose. Put one.
You know,
put
you never know. You go into like one of these arcades now, and you're like, ah, is it sort of for adults? And I went in. No. Totally bring my kids here.
You know, it was down there. Richie was down there. They put Richie in the corner.
Oh, mini Richie. Oh.
Little Richie. They got him in the cage.
And the machine. You got to get him out.
I saw another Richie somewhere else. That must be like the new thing. Like the
gerbils.
The huge spherical gerbil prize for, you know, various arcade type activities. I saw one. I can't remember where it was.
What you think it cost to make Richie? Overhead.
Yeah. 84 cents.
I was going to say 75 cents.
Probably feed about 60 bucks in there to try and win Richie.
Celtics out to a 1-0 series lead. Sean Grandy said nothing was pretty about it. Nothing at all. He doesn't want to say that anything was.
Well, I think when you look at the turnovers at the end, you look at the way they played in the first half.
They shot 37% for the game. They turned the ball
the
over
shooting
more than 20 times. And still
17
won.
Turnovers. Yeah.
I mean, but to say nothing was good, there's no good in the game.
Oh, there was times they were up 20 where you could turn that game off at the end.
It was an easy one to not pay attention to.
Thank God.
Kyrie
Marcus
Irving,
Morris off the bench was good.
Yes.
Really good.
There are a couple things I looked at in this game that I thought were good. One, I thought Jason Tatum played well in this game. And I thought Marcus Morris off the bench played well in this game. He had 20, tying Kyrie for the team lead, 20 points apiece.
Speaking of Kyrie, how about him missing Marcus Smart after that game, saying how much he missed him in the national
interview? I did. I heard that. Heard that in his walk-off interview.
Missed everything about him.
I thought that Bogdanovich was a non-factor. I thought that he is not going to really bring it in this series.
Nope.
And I think we had a little chippiness there in that game. This is the part that I don't think was pretty. The Jaylen Brown shove. If we have the call of that, T-Bone, Maybe we should take a listen now what Grandy and Max thought about that one. But that at the end was something that I find entirely unnecessary. And I know that something may have happened before this, but
of course
here it is.
Here's
the shove yesterday.
The Celtics have not won a game this year when failing to score 100 points. They're not only going to win game one by doing that, they're going to blow the Pacers out. Now, after the play, a whistle blew. Bogdanovich kept running forward and knocked Jason Tatum backwards. And bad blood, which is inevitable between two teams in a playoff series, is already beginning to escalate here in game one. Jaylen Brown's been in the middle of a couple of these.
Jaylen Brown is the one that got the initial foul. He was the one that pushed Bogdanovich in the back with two hands. Then Bogdanovich, in his follow-through, went and ran into Jason Tatum and hit him with two hands. Good chance to see it here. The hole.
Jaylen Brown pushed off on Turner. Jaylen Brown kind of, shoved Bogdanovich into Tatum.
Kind of. Can't even watch it,
these guys.
The one thing these teams did not have between them, which is
Jaylen Brown.
Come on, MMA guy.
He's down there talking about Bogdanovich at the other end. What's going on there? And you didn't make that call.
So throw a technical to Jaylen on top of this.
Jaylen, keep your head.
How about our text string. Before, after that. What are you effing doing, Jaylen Brown? It's going to be one of the dumbest plays we've seen.
And so
I kind of pushed him.
We don't
have. He took two hands and shoved him in the back.
We don't have a good view of whatever may have happened
prior to it.
Prior to that, and there's one play. There's one video floating around that I know, Hardy, you sent to us yesterday, where you can just watch as they go down the court. Something may have happened. At the bottom of the screen, there are 3 minutes and 35 seconds to go.
Yeah.
And it looks like as Bogdanovich and Brown are running down the floor, Brown somewhere in there just sort of comes to a stop and ends up 5 or 6 steps behind the play.
Right. So
who knows what happened there? Did he hit him? Did he whack him below the belt? Who knows? Who knows that what played out there?
Doesn't warrant that response. I'm sorry.
I kept waiting for another angle to pick it up because everyone, and again, as it happens, I understand, and it looks like Bogdanovich is just running into Jason Tatum, in that instant. And then you look at it again, and you see he was actually pushed by Jaylen Brown.
But then
you go back 20 seconds, and you're like, wait a second, something happened on the last trip down the court to where I got to believe Bogdanovich did something to Brown. Now, you can probably go back before that and find something that was even a prior instigator to that. But I think Brown was responding directly to something that had happened on that previous trip back down to the other side.
And that was the Tatum step back three. And after the play, you can see Bogdanovich starts to go back up the floor and Brown is facing him and he's saying something to him. Don't know what, but something happened there between the two of them. But then he doesn't keep his cool and he gets teed up. And honestly, what are you doing? It just felt sort of classless is what it felt.
Yeah. What would Marcus Smart do?
Best part about the whole scene, though, and we kill Kyrie for everything he does bad. When Jaylen Brown got the technical, he was still going at him. He was still, after the fact, going at him. And Kyrie pushed him aside. And I don't know what he said, I was watching the TNT broadcast, and you could hear him say, series. I don't know if it was saying it's a long series, calm down, or something
right,
like that.
Probably.
It was taking some leadership and like, all right, calm down, dude.
Who else showed up? And I we all like this guy. Did you see when Aaron Baines grabbed him right away?
Yeah.
When it happened? Like, what are you doing? He grabbed him and was like, okay, you're with me, idiot. I thought that's a veteran stepping in and doing the right thing there. Grabbed him and tried to sort of calm the situation down
right
away. So a credit to both Kyrie and Aaron Baines doing whatever it took to sort of settle the situation. Let's go. It's game one. It's a long series. We're about to win the game. Let's just focus on that, win the game, and get to the next one.
Right. Like, it's so obvious that Bogdanovich or someone in their position on that team is trying to elicit some kind of response from you from right now. They're getting blown out in the first game of a series where you're going to set the tone for the entire series. Don't take the bait.
You heard it. Did you hear Reggie Miller on the broadcast? Which broadcast did you watch?
Yeah, TNT.
Okay,
yeah.
I was watching TNT, and Reggie Miller said on the broadcast, he said, if I'm the Pacers, I'm looking for one thing. It was probably 6 or 7 minutes to go. He said, I'm looking for one thing to cling to here in the final minute to this game to help you maybe in game two.
Yeah,
you know, come away with something you can use here. And I think he meant it in the sense of, you know, some sort of form of positive play.
Yeah, lineup combination.
Right?
Yeah.
Lineup combination, whatever it might be. Couldn't that qualify? Couldn't getting into it with a player, providing some sort of emotional spark and guys getting bent out of shape and pissed off and mentally letting that drive them going into game two?
Yeah.
That's the Celtics have nothing to gain by him doing that in the final minutes.
No.
Nothing at all.
And again, as Reggie Miller said, and as you just said, Beetle, the Pacers are just looking for something.
Yeah.
Something to take out of this. It's not going to be any kind of a victory in terms of strategy or tactics or anything else. Just something to talk about for the next game.
And by the way,
we got our asses beat. What's the one thing that we got to take care of in game two? Oh, we got to fix this. We've got this to play for now.
I don't think that it's going to be enough. I don't think that giving them that spark is going to be enough for them to win. I think they're overmatched in this series.
Between Bogdanovich and Brown?
Evident in game one. The Celtics are going to win this series. They don't need Marcus Smart. They're going to be just fine.
Yeah.
They're going to win this series. They're on to round two.
Like I said, it'd be great to sweep, get the rest, get geared up, and get ready for what's going to be in front of you and the Greek Freak in the next one. Let's go.
And
settle them down.
And hope for Marcus Smart to get healthy.
I turned that series on. It was like 28-8. Turned it right off.
Milwaukee and the Pistons?
Yeah.
Yeah.
some of those games are terrible. Terrible. The other series. Upsets, too.
Too many teams. Too many teams out there.
God.
Too many teams. I have the ratings for yesterday here in Boston, and I will give you some more details on that, the order of things. What had the most eyeballs yesterday? I think it's pretty predictable based on the timing of when things started yesterday.
Yeah.
Pretty predictable. You watched one thing, you flipped to another, and you ignored a third.
Pretty much. That was my day yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, it pretty much makes sense. But we'll tell you the details on the ratings for yesterday. Also, the national rating for the Masters. How was that impacted by the early start yesterday?
Huge.
We have that information for you on a national level. All of that on the way. Hear from Jillian's Lucky Strike, Zolak and Bertrand on Marathon Monday. Hardy has our headline.
It's Marathon Monday. Zolak and Bertrand are live at Lucky Strike Social at Fenway. Sponsored by Michelob Ultra on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right.
Yeah.
Zolak and Bertrand from Jillian's Lucky Strike. Brought to you by Michelob Ultra. Live fit, live fun, live ultra. Yesterday.
Live it.
Masters ratings. Nationally, early start. Little different than usual. They moved it up due to the weather.
They
tried to dress this up, CBS, but go ahead, Artie. What were you going to say?
No, I mean, it was really unorthodox, not only to move it up as much as they did by, 5 hours? Really,
yeah, at least.
But to send them off as threesomes, it's always pairings in the final round, and they went off of 1T and 10T. So they had a bunch of players going off at 10 who actually finished their final round on the ninth hole. The leaders and, of course, you know, the guys who were all watching, they started on number one. But it was different seeing three guys out there in each group in the final round.
He jammed it in there, Artie.
It worked.
Got to do what you got to do.
Worked.
And that is a far more favorable way of doing it than playing it by year and chancing a finish on Monday. Forget that.
So we've been off the map today for us.
It's not what you want.
No.
Not only that, if you have guys that stop in the middle of their round,
right?
That's not what you're looking for.
No. It was bad enough. I was watching, I think it was on Saturday, after Tiger was making a move, and it was on 12, and he hit a good tee shot, and he was playing well, and he's kind of in the groove, and the lightning alarm went off, and he had to go up to number 12 green, you know, the one that ended up being the undoing of both Molinari and Finau yesterday. He had to go up there and mark his ball. You know, he had, like, it was probably looking at an 8-10 foot birdie putt. you know, you're in the groove. You're moving. I want to get up there. I want to putt that thing. Let's go. Let's go. And everybody had to clear the course. Everybody walk off. Everybody get away. So, yeah, you don't want that in the final. You don't want it any time, but certainly not in the final round.
So last year's Masters final round finished with a 7.9 rating. And the overnight rating last year was 8.7. I think this is wrong. It was 7.9 yesterday. It was 8.7 last year. So there was a drop. This is written wrong, the way this is written up.
Yeah, out on the West Coast, you figure people woke up 8, 9 o'clock, and damn thing's half over.
I mean, and if you're really religious and you go to church on Palm Sunday, when are you turning this on?
You must have gone to church yesterday.
Shut up.
No, you told us that you were very religious. How was the service?
All right, I got a palm for you.
So they had a little bit of a drop, but
we do pussy willows in my church.
With the time change, that's pretty good. They pretty much did the same, I would say. And if it were in the afternoon, if it were at 6 o'clock last night, they would have done a huge number.
Huge number. Yeah. They'd probably double their number.
I don't know how the ratings work, but some of it has to do with the amount of time you spend watching.
Kids games were all yesterday afternoon.
Not just how many people, you know, peeked in on it, but if you've got everybody on the West Coast, you know, when the coverage started at 6 a.m., people aren't up and turning their TVs on for 2-3 hours into final round coverage. That's going to affect the ratings dramatically.
Plus, the casual fan may not have been up to speed on the time change. Someone that's not into golf and just on a Sunday turn it on and watch it for a bit,
right.
I think you completely lose those people.
Yeah.
When you do something like that.
But it seemed like, I mean, if you were just online yesterday or, you know, with some other people, everybody was watching that thing yesterday. That had everyone's attention to the point where we saw what happened at the Celtics game.
It was like OJ and the Bronco.
At the Celtics.
Everybody got to stop and watch.
Celtics have a playoff game going on, and people are interested in the Masters. They put the score up at Fenway Park. I mean, this was the
single greatest comeback in sports.
Yeah, and it wasn't just the event of the day. It's going to end up being the story for a long time. And, yeah, I cannot think of a comeback from a player. You know, teams, it doesn't really make sense. It doesn't make sense to talk about a team because you're going to have so much turnover. It's a singular pursuit. It's a singular player. Who has done more and had to go through more than this guy has? And to come back to achieve at the sport's highest level.
See, that's when golf is big.
I can't think of anyone else.
Here in Boston, Masters did a 7-8. Celtics did over a 3. And when they were up against each other, that hurt the Celtics a little bit. But then Celtics viewership went up over 60% when the Masters ended.
Yeah, they clicked right over. That's what you did.
And the Celtics, you know, the order of yesterday was Masters did the best. Celtics was second. Red Sox were third. Yesterday in the market, which it pretty much explains that, hey, you started watching the Masters. It was captivating. You stayed on till the end to see Tiger win. You flipped to the Celtics playoff game, and you didn't watch the Red Sox.
Yeah.
Some people did, but not most.
You flipped to the Celtics and saw the Pacers score 8 points in the third quarter.
Yeah.
I mean, not seeing
the whole game.
Nobody saw the first half when the Pacers should have been up by about 15 or 20, and they couldn't shoot, so they couldn't get the lead. And they scored 8 points, and it looks like the Celtics won that going away. That was a pretty decent game in the first half.
Celtics shot 36.7% from the field, had 20 turnovers.
Huh.
And this, we all saw this earlier. The past 35 years, teams that shot that poorly, committed that many turnovers, they've gone 3-19 in playoff games.
Oh. What did the Pacers shoot? What did the Pacers shoot in the game?
Get that information.
Oh, sorry. I thought you had the box.
No,
my bad. I can tell you. It's they shot 33%. They shot 33% from the field. Yeah.
Imagine if Marcus Smart was in the game.
Imagine. The only way to win when you shoot 36.4% is face the team that shoots 33%.
Now, can we talk about one shot? Just one shot from the tournament?
Yeah.
Tiger's tee shot on 16. Again. This is a course he's very familiar with. Last time he won it there, he actually missed the green and had to chip up from, you know, as you're facing the green from the tee box, he missed it to the left. He had to chip up, and that now iconic shot of the ball rolling back off the bank and finally falling into the cup after it essentially stops for a moment. He was so composed and so poised that he put that thing in at the exact same spot, essentially where he had to hit that chip shot to the last time he won a green jacket.
Gotcha.
Hit his tee shot there, rolled toward the cup. We're all watching it. I think it was, believe it or not, I think it was Rick Riley. Rick Riley, who said, had that ball gone in the hole on 16, the world would have started spinning in the other direction. Like, people would have lost their minds to the point
people
where
wanted
it just
it.
Stops.
People wanted it to go in the cup.
Going back.
You wanted it to go in.
It would, I mean, it was...
The game that cushion going up
amazing
to
enough to where he hit that shot in that moment. After he had already, you know, started to cement himself, say, okay, it's going to happen now, it's going to happen. As soon as he hit that shot, you knew the putt was going in. I said it, sitting there watching, I said, it's over. No, don't say that, don't say they're going to change. It's over.
Yeah.
There's,
that was it.
These guys aren't coming back. And the only chance anyone really had was Brooks Koepka, who wasn't even playing with Tiger. So here's Brooks Koepka standing on 18. You make birdie here, Brooks. You make Tiger par in order to beat you, okay? Okay. What did Brooks Koepka do? Brooks Koepka, no slouch, back-to-back U.S. Open winner. This guy is legit. What does he do? According to the analysts, rolled probably his worst putt of the tournament. Having to make birdie on 18, makeable putt. He took a jab at that thing like he was poking a snake with a stick, and it missed the cup by a half a foot. You want to know why?
Pressure. Yeah.
All in his head.
All in the head.
What do I need? Who?
That's what's most impressive about Tiger.
Who's going to have to make... Oh. Yeah. It's Tiger? Oh.
We got to see the girlfriend yesterday, too. She's more visible now.
Oh. I believe she's a manager at...
One of his restaurants.
Yeah.
He's up from
the
waitress.
That. It's a thing he's got.
No. Waitresses used to be the waitresses.
Well, yeah. Those who work in restaurants.
I didn't even notice it until today.
Food service.
She too was wearing the red top with the
whole family.
Nice. Kind of a theme.
Yeah, sort of a thing there. 617-779-0985. I'll give you the lines from Bruins practice and who you can expect to see or maybe not see in the Bruins lineup against the Maple Leafs in Game 3. I'll give you all that coming up next.
And Bertrand are back at Lucky Strike Social at Fenway for Marathon Monday. Sponsored by Michelob Ultra. Live fit, live fun, live ultra on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Leafs counterattack to center. Marlowe set in, and then he has run into the round corner board. And Chara is all over Kadri after a Bruin is knocked down. And Chara has given it to Kadri.
See if that's called. I think they got Kadri. The initial call, which was retaliation for the hit on Marlowe. And who is it that's down?
Is that DeBrusque?
Yep.
Jake DeBrusque.
No.
Yep, that's, well, Kadri had the number.
And Jake's okay now. They've been at it all game. Kadri's going right to the dressing room. So this could be another one of those where...
Chara doesn't need to. He looks like he's going to get a penalty.
Marlowe got hit into the curved glass. And I think DeBrusque sells this.
Yeah.
They watch the same game?
Oh, my God. The Toronto radio guys are pissed that Chara didn't get a penalty.
Well, I was online looking up hotels for the next series.
Yeah, we're looking at the hotels in Tampa. These two.
Tampa.
You gotta be kidding me, Joe and Jim.
Unbelievable.
Joe and Jim on the Maple Leafs Radio Network.
Chara got nothing.
Did they ever tell the story of what actually happened there?
No.
And they get it wrong, like most people do. It was not retaliation for the hit on Marlowe. It was not what that was at all.
Marlowe got hit into the curved glass.
The curved glass?
What curved glass?
What are you talking about?
He almost got taken into the freaking bench. What is he talking about?
I don't know. I don't know what he's talking about. You check their eyesight.
You people got lucky in this
They're pissed
man.
About Chara. So,
lucky.
And then they accuse DeBrusque of selling it at the end of the play.
DeBrusque sells this.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, did he?
Let me tell you this. Those claims will not go away. Here's tonight's expected lineup. This is a tweet from Fluto Shinzawa. Tonight's expected lineup per the morning skate. Marchand, Bergeron, Pastrnak. DeBrusk, Krejci on the second line. So DeBrusk is in. Okay? DeBrusk looks like he's going to play tonight. The other one we were wondering about is what's up with Krug. Krug was out there. He was not in a non-contact. He was in his full regular jersey, and he was out there paired with Carlo. It looks like he's going to play. So DeBrusk and Krug both in tonight.
It's good news.
That's good news for the Bruins.
It's great news. Even a Krug one.
That claim that, you know, he was selling it will continue now because DeBrusk is going to play.
Well, the Krug one scared me more than anything. Yeah. When the helmet came off and he stumbled when he was getting up, and then I don't know who it was who came out to him initially and was telling him something, and you could hear Krug saying, I know. Like, you have to get off the ice now. You have to leave or something. It was like readily apparent to him that he was going to have to, you know, take some time during that game and immediately get into some kind of protocol. But it was, I was fully prepared for him to miss a game or two. So that's great news.
I know Chad had called us earlier. He was assumed that Krug would be out. He was then day to day. He's on the ice practicing in full today, and it looks like he's in tonight. So good news for the Bruins on that front.
And again, it was dependent on how he was going to look in the morning skate, and maybe even pregame. We may not know until we're closer to game time tonight.
Just keep an eye on the marathon, though.
I am. The women, there are women finishing, and the pain on their faces. To run the pace they're running at.
Would you like to know who your winner is?
Don't really care.
But this is the winner now, crossing the line?
No, Beetle.
No.
The winner was so far out in front that the cameras weren't picking up whoever finished second. Now we're up to, like, the fourth finisher.
This is still the women's elite category. Yeah.
The first woman across the finish line was Worknesh Dagifa, who I'm sure you're familiar with. She's from Ethiopia.
They bones and skin.
No. They were focused on her earlier in the race.
Yes.
When she led for most of the day, I believe.
Yeah. Worky. We call her Worknesh, and she is your champion.
Okay.
Congratulations.
It's incredible how fast the men's elite runners go. It's unbelievable.
It makes my knees hurt watching it, and hips. Just watch the way their legs swing, too. I mean, it's got to wear your hips down, man. Oh.
How's Vasquez playing at second base today?
Oh, my God.
Because it looks like he just butchered something.
No. He took it himself. Made the play. Was that Bogarts?
That was Bogarts.
Oh, they shift. They must have moved him on the shift.
Oh.
He made a great tag on the throw from the outfield to tag the guy out at second base. He's okay. Turned a double player, he started a double player.
Right? He's a catcher, Jim.
How was the throw? It was an underhand to second?
Oh, no.
How
he threw a bullet to Bogarts.
He did? Okay.
Oh, yeah. A seed.
He throws a bullet to second base.
I don't want you to get a hot potato.
Does she look familiar to you, Beetle, the woman crossing the finish line right now? I believe this is last year's champion who's coming across the finish line right now. Does she look familiar to you?
No.
All right.
I think I'd rather have Vasquez than Nunez at second base anytime, after watching a couple innings.
Vasquez better than Nunez at second base. Less of an adventure.
Here's what I asked.
Two innings in, yeah.
Okay.
What do you eat after you run that?
I have no idea.
Like, okay, so you get hungry. Like, what do they advise you to eat?
What do you eat after
protein?
A football game?
You got a carb load before the race,
you
right?
You carb up before. I think you protein up after. Because you don't want stuff that's going to come up on you. Yeah,
recovery.
For the
proteins,
repair. The
a lot of,
and recovery.
Amino acids, proteins, stuff like that.
Probably. Candy bars.
Mm. I don't think that's what they're prescribing.
Like Brian, Michael Scott, fettuccine.
Brian's
Alfredo.
In the car today. Hey, Brian.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hi.
What's up?
Hey. Just wanted to talk hi. Masters. There's a lot of people have been talking about how Molinari choked on 15 with his third shot and chunked it and whatnot. But if you watch the replay, it looks like he took the wrong angle. It looks like he took the ball up too high, hit a branch. You can see a pine cone falling.
He hit a branch.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why it landed in the water. It's not so much that he chunked it. If you want to talk about
he choked
about,
on the other one God. In the water.
Look, it's decision making. Okay, You look at it.
How about Tiger hitting one out of that alley?
And
at
also,
the end?
Yeah, at 15.
To save par.
He's trying to play catch up at that point, so I understand that he's got to try and make something happen. I don't really fault him for the shot at 15. You know, it's not where he wanted to be for that shot. And he hit some kind of overhanging limb or something. But
don't put the ball there then.
Yeah. And when you know that you can't afford to drop another stroke, try and get something in there low and get it to skip and stop. I can't do it. You know, nobody can. I mean, there's a handful of guys in the world who can even contemplate hitting the shots that these guys hit. But yes, it was another gaffe. It was another mistake. And whether it was from the result of a poor swing or a bad shot selection or just a bad decision, he came undone. The wheels had started to come off, and then they were totally off after that shot.
How about Kepka's shot from the pine straw that went into the trees and kicked out into the fairway?
Yeah. I mean, you could go through many of these shots from yesterday.
There were a lot of mistakes made on the golf course, very few of them made by Tiger Woods yesterday. And he started around.
Tiger played lights out. Yeah, all the credit to him. Yeah. You know, but I think that, you know, I hear a lot of people just saying that Molinari really did not, you know, he crapped
blew up on the back. You can't call it an he blew up. He had a three-shot lead.
He put it in the water on 12. I don't know what else you want. When Jordan Spieth did it a few years ago.
Where was that clown yesterday? I didn't hear his name mentioned
once.
I just
don't understand why it's better if it clipped a branch.
It was a bad decision then.
Shouldn't have had the first ball there where you get in trouble under the trees.
He caught a flyer out of
the other
rough
side of fairway.
It jumped on him and hit a branch. You should know that. You should know that's going to happen. Francesco Molinari is legit. He was considered by many to be playing the best golf in the world over the last year or so, coming into this tournament, regardless of world golf rankings. He fell apart.
How about the guy?
And I believe he fell apart in large part because of who he was playing with and how that guy was playing in the final round on the back nine on Sunday at the Masters. Holy crap! Tiger's here, and he just took the lead.
How about the guy
all over his foot?
How about the guy that won the bet $85,000 and he won $1.1 million by Tiger winning it? He was probably listening to Mike Francesa on Friday because Francesa said there's no way that a guy that's 144th in the world putting is going to win at Augusta. It just can't happen. They're not going to win it. Not going to win it. So gamblers are now listening to Francesa and are going the opposite way. Just to do whatever Francesa, they take the direct opposite of whatever Francesa says. He's been wrong on everything.